grim discovery in Nepal.
Nepalese authorities say the helicopter was in pieces.
Music loses a legend.
The thrill is gone.
Train derailment investigation.
Amtrak 188 rapidly accelerated 65 seconds before the crash.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. After days of searching, the worst fears have been realized in Nepal. The wreckage of a U.S. military helicopter has been found in the mountains northeast of the capital, Kathmandu. CBS's Cammie McCormick joins us live from Washington with more.
Steve, word came this morning that Nepalese ground troops had spotted the wreckage on a steep slope at about 11,000 feet in very rugged terrain. The U.S. military dispatched some specialized pararescuers and then confirmed the wreckage was that of the missing Marine helicopter. There were six Marines on board and two Nepalese Army personnel. They'd been dropping rice and tarps to survivors of the earthquakes. Nepalese officials say there are bodies and the helicopter is in pieces, but the U.S. military has not confirmed any casualties.
We also learned this morning the King of Blues is gone. The legendary B.B. King died last night at his Las Vegas home at 89. King emerged from the Mississippi cotton fields, and with a guitar he named Lucille, he brought blues to a wider audience, a kind of music, he said, that fit any mood.
It's good for me when I'm feeling bad, and good for me when I'm feeling good.
Every day I have the blues.
B.B. King was one of the most important names in rhythm and blues in the 1950s as a singer, composer, and musician. The way he played the guitar, it was almost like the instrument was speaking words, and it would influence a generation of young rockers in the 1960s.
The thrill is gone.
That song became a crossover hit in 1970, and King went from playing small clubs to doing concerts and amphitheaters. Late in life, B.B. King said, quote, "I think I'm a pretty good musician, but I don't think I'm the best." Some of his fans might disagree. Nick Young, CBS News.
At the crash scene in Philadelphia, CBS's Chris Van Cleve has the latest on the investigation into the Tuesday derailment that left eight dead.
Amtrak 188 came barreling into that curve, according to the National Transportation Safety Board's Robert Sumwalt.
65 seconds before the end of the recording, the train speed went above 70 miles per hour. 16 seconds before the end of the recording, the train speed was going through 100 miles per hour.
Brandon Boston was at the controls Tuesday night. Boston was often critical of the railroad industry for failing to implement safeguards against human error. One posting from 2011 read, "At any point over the previous 80 years, the railroad could have voluntarily implemented some form of this technology."
And James Weir, a friend of Boston, says the engineer, who does intend to speak with investigators, called him right after the derailment.
He's very distraught. He's very upset. And he's very sorry.
An Amtrak dispatcher injured in the crash has filed a lawsuit against the rail line. In New York, prosecutors say they will not file charges against an engineer who fell asleep on a New York City commuter train that derailed 2 years ago, killing four. He had an undiagnosed sleep disorder. Now we head to the White House, where a drone that was flying nearby yesterday grabbed everyone's attention. CBS's Pam Coulter is there and has the latest. Pam?
Steve, an iPad-sized drone caused a lockdown at the White House when it was spotted flying 100 feet over Lafayette Park across Pennsylvania Avenue. 39-year-old Ryan McDonald of Vacaville, California, was arrested and charged with violating restricted airspace. The device was deemed safe, but the incident occurred at the start of an FAA campaign to remind people this is a no-drone zone.
The NFL commissioner, not an outside arbitrator, will hear Tom Brady's Deflategate appeal. CBS's Steve Futterman.
This decision will certainly anger the NFL Players Association. Just hours before Roger Goodell announced that he would hear the appeal, the Players Association specifically asked the league to appoint a neutral arbitrator. Having Goodell listen to the appeal does make it tough for Brady, says Boston Globe reporter Ben Volen.
It's going to take a lot of convincing to get Tom Brady's appeal bumped down from four to anywhere from two to possibly zero games. by someone who already handed out the punishment.
In asking for a neutral arbitrator, the Players Association said if the league is so confident in the evidence, it should have no hesitation appointing someone totally independent. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Jeb Bush is not an official candidate for president yet, but he's wrapped up a week where his position on his brother's decision to invade Iraq seemed to shift. At first, he said even with the benefit of hindsight, he would have gone to war. Then yesterday in Arizona, he put it this way.
If we're all supposed to answer hypothetical questions, knowing what we know now, what would you have done? I would have not engaged. I would not have gone into Iraq.
Bush said some of his reluctance was out of loyalty. He said, I don't go out of my way to disagree with my brother. From the classroom to social media, bullying's been a growing concern for parents and school officials. CBS's Peter King joins us with word of new research on bullying.
Steve, a just-released survey says 22% of students responding said they were bullied at school in 2013, a 6% drop from 2011. That's from an Education Department survey of 12 to 18-year-olds. They're also the lowest number since the government began that survey a decade ago. The study says victims are more likely to be girls than boys, also more likely to be white than minority. Education Secretary Arne Duncan says the numbers are encouraging, but there's more work to do.
Well, actor Johnny Depp has agreed to send his two dogs back to the United States. Australian officials accused him of smuggling the Yorkshire Terriers into the country and threatened to euthanize them if they were not sent home. Well, it's been a string of heartfelt farewells this month on the CBS Late Show.
You're not going anywhere, David Letterman.
I need to talk to my lawyer.
And George Clooney used handcuffs last night to try to keep David Letterman from heading off into retirement next week. Letterman talked to Jane Pauley for this weekend's Sunday Morning.
I'm naked and afraid. Enormous uprooting change in my life has petrified me, really petrified me. But once I've come through the other side, the reward has been unimaginable.
Dave's last show is next Wednesday night. With developments earlier this week, Shell inched closer to drilling for oil in the Arctic off Alaska's northern coast. Anticipating final approval, the company's moved a drill rig into Seattle, and it was met by angry protesters.
The 400-foot-long rig dwarfed the several dozen self-proclaimed kayaktivists waving flags and banners vowing to stop Arctic drilling they say will destroy the environment.
I think the more people that wake up, the bigger the difference we make, and we need to wake up.
A lone counter-protester drew the ire of demonstrators as he argued stopping the rig could cost millions of dollars and hundreds of jobs.
That ship isn't doing any harm right now. And to put men out of work because of an ideal is wrong.
The floating protests are expected to continue, with the kayaktivists vowing to block the rig's departure for the Arctic this summer. Josh Kearns for CBS News, Seattle.
And that's the World News Roundup for Friday. The broadcast is produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.